Chapter 12. By the time the three of us finished our antics in the sand, it was late, and a cold wind raced across the desert. So Olette, Matilda, and I redressed and then headed back toward the caravan. Most of the lights were already out, but from the absence of the pile of guards' bodies, I figured my women had already transformed them for me. When I looked out toward the horizon, I spied the shapes of my soldiers' tents, and I could even hear the soft sound of some of them snoring. In the morning, we'd set out again across the desert toward Tolna, but I had a few things I needed to take care of first. We'd recently learned Tolna was heavily fortified, even more so than Granum, and unlike the latter city, we couldn't use the cannons, ballistae, and catapults to force our way in. I'd already drawn up blueprints for what I wanted to create, but in the morning before we left, I'd have to check how much steel and iron we had left over. When I closed my eyes, I could almost imagine the enormous machine in front of me. But it'd take nearly all of my soldiers' help, and right now I only had a handful of them. With our single day of reprieve here in the forest, my other soldiers and monster women could probably catch up to us within the next few days.
"Good night, Charles,"
Matilda whispered and pressed a tender kiss to my cheek before heading off to the tent that her women had erected a few feet away from the caravan. "Good night, my love," I smiled and nodded to her. Instantly, the desperado's cheeks flushed pink, and she lowered her head before shuffling off toward the canvas room. The green-haired harlot had seemed like a hard woman at first, but the more I got to know her, the more she opened up to me like a blossoming flower, and I saw the sweeter, sensitive sides to her.
"Aka Benita,"
Olette smiled, grabbed my hand, and kissed the back of it.
"It means good night, sweet dreams, in the elven language. I will see you in the morning, and if I could sleep, I would hope I would dream of you, Charles Rayburn."
"Good night, Olette." I chuckled and bowed my head to her as I grabbed the door handle of the caravan. I opened the door into the darkened confines of the first cabin and glanced around for any signs of life. No one seemed to be up at this hour, not even Ryan or Daisy, who were the usual night owls. I crept through the living room cabin, headed toward the hall, and then slowly opened the bedroom door with a creak. All of my women were already cuddled up on the plush mattress, and as per usual, they'd left enough space for me directly in the middle. I quickly undressed in front of the warm stove, neatly folded my clothes, and set them aside before crawling in the middle. As soon as I took my place, Cecilia rolled over onto her side and wrapped a lanky arm around my bare chest. Cleia, on the other side of me, nuzzled in closer, and in her sleep, grabbed my arm, lifted it, and placed it around her. I had to wonder, once I was king and we lived in the palace, would we continue to sleep like this? When we lived at the manor, I'd intended for Valerie, Daisy, and Ryan to have their own rooms and space where they could feel at home. But it had been the feline woman's idea for all of us to sleep in the same bed. I hoped it would stay the same, and no matter what happened to us in the future, we'd lay like this and seek comfort in each other's warm bodies. I laid back, breathed a heavy sigh, and stared up at the blank panel board ceiling. We had a lot to take care of in the next few days, which included the journey to Tolna. I wasn't sure what was waiting for us when we got there, but when I pictured it in my head, all I saw was a towering sandstone wall that brushed the clear blue sky. A structure so large that no matter where you stood, you didn't know where it began or ended. Just that it existed to prevent you from entering into one of the largest cities next to the capital. I let my head drop down into the pillow, and I closed my eyes, but sleep didn't come easily to me. No matter what I tried, I couldn't get the image of Tolna and how we were going to get inside out of my head. No matter what kind of plans I tried to cook up, Tolna would be the first city we would strike with a vengeance. Citizens and guards would die. It was almost guaranteed, and though I never minded killing in the past, I wanted to spare as many lives as possible. From now on, this was how our battles would go, and I had to accept that. Aristocrats were going to lose their lives, and even if they deserved it, it still didn't sit right with me. But there was no other way around it. Even if I tried to change their minds, it would be nearly impossible to get through their thick skulls. They'd lived their entire lives believing they were the superior sex, and that men were nothing more than pack mules who could occasionally give them children.
"That's enough for one night,"
I grumbled aloud to myself, rocked my shoulders back and forth against the mattress, and attempted to clear my mind of all of those thoughts. Finally, after an hour or so of mindless silence, my body gave in and let me rest. I wasn't sure how long I was asleep, maybe a few minutes or the full 8 hours that adults were required. But bright light filtered in through the crepe-like curtains when I opened my eyes. I wasn't sure what time it was, and it easily could have been early in the morning or late in the afternoon. I wouldn't have known. Once the sun rose, it reflected against the golden sand and made every hour, except for sunset, look like high noon. When I glanced on either side of me, my women were still resting peacefully, and as I quietly wrestled myself out of bed, I wondered how they could do that so easily. Was it part of being a monster girl, or did they really not spend hours overthinking? I hastily dressed in a clean shirt, trousers, and slipped the suspenders over my shoulders before I kicked on my shoes. The caravan was utterly silent as I slipped through the empty cabins, but as soon as I stepped outside, the hustle and bustle of the soldiers startled me. All of them seemed to be racing around while they packed up their tents and prepared for the long journey ahead of us. I knew exactly who I needed to speak to and searched through the crowd for my trusted guard. "Askara!" I barked once the older man came into sight, and a wide grin spread over his features.
"Good morning, my lord."
The dark-haired man bowed his head and offered me a calloused hand, which I took and heartily shook.
"What is it you need today? The soldiers and I are already preparing to load the wagons and head out toward Tolna."
"I have 2 questions, I uttered, and instantly the guard's bushy eyebrows raised. "Where are the leftover panels of steel and iron, and how much do we have of it?"
"Ah, well," Askara pondered,
cupped his chin, and tapped his heavy boot against the sand.
"I can't tell you an exact number, but I know we have a lot of it. At least 3 or 4 wagons worth of it."
"Why, my lord?" "Can you take me to them?" I asked. "I need to calculate how much we'll need in my head for the machine I want to build."
"Another machine?" Askara probed. "Like the cannons?"
"No," I shook my head as the guard led me around the caravan to where the rest of the wagons we'd brought with us were parked. "This will be on a much larger scale. Think of, well, the size of the caravan. That's about 12 or 13 feet high, with the wheel height included, and they're roughly 8 feet wide, so we'll need to double that for the machine I want to build."
"We might have enough of that, sir,"
the soldier nodded and waved to me over his shoulder as we neared the right wagons.
"We have plenty of supplies, but you might want to scale down the size of the machine a little bit. I wouldn't want us to run short and then have someone have to run back to Valestia for more."
That wouldn't be a problem." I shook my head with a short bark of a laugh. "You've seen Cecilia's abilities. She could run there with an empty wagon and then be back within 15 minutes if we needed more."
"So, tell me, my lord," Askara urged, "what are you planning on building?"
"I'm sure you've heard by now that an enormous fortification surrounds Tolna," I explained. "Even larger than the one that surrounded Granum. And there is no possible way the weapons we already possess could break through it. Hell, it'd probably take us almost a week to carve a hole in the sandstone." "Well, I'm assuming it's sandstone because of the area we're in, but it easily could be granite or limestone. Both of those are incredibly durable and hard. They are more susceptible to erosion, and if this were any other situation, I could easily craft a potion to eat through it. But Matilda told us the damn wall is 20 feet thick."
"Oh, shit," Askara spat.
"That's not even the worst part," I went on. "Apparently, in between the wall, there's battlements and more soldiers, and then another wall."
"And there's no way we can go over it?" the guard asked, with a crooked eyebrow.
"Think about it, Askara," I uttered in a low voice. "If the wall is 20 feet thick, we have no way of knowing how tall it is. It easily could be, held 30 to 40 feet. Ever seen a grappling hook with that much rope on the other end? Not only that, but by the time we reached the top, we'd be dead men. They'd know we're coming and either cut the ropes or slice us through by the time we came over the first battlement."
"So," the guard grumbled and tapped his chin, "if we can't go over, and we certainly can't force our way through, then there's only one other option."
"Yes," I nodded with a grin. "We go under. Dig our way to the other side."
"All right,"
Askara said, paused for a moment, and then pointed out the 5 wagons filled with sheets of metal and other solid hunks of it.
"There it is. So, my lord, How do you plan to carry this out? Do we use something like an excavator? We had a crude one back on the farm I worked at for a while, but half the time it was broken down, and we had to do all the work by hand. No, I shook my head, and strode toward the wagons filled with the metal we'd need for this project. An excavator would be too large, too many parts. Not only that, but the ones I've worked with are deafening. I need a streamlined machine that won't cause too much attention and will get us under the sand within minutes. The noise isn't our biggest issue, because if the wall is as tall as I suspect it is, they probably won't hear a damn thing from all the way down there. So, the guard muttered, what are we thinking of doing? We could excavate by hand, I explained, but that would take far too long, and by the time we got through to the other side, they'd probably know we were there. What about a drill? Askara asked, and cupped his chin. We saw some of them back in Valestia. They seem pretty durable, and they'd make it a lot easier to dig underneath the fortifications. Yes, that could work, I nodded knowingly. But that's assuming we have all of the materials to do so. I have some spare copper sheeting in my laboratory, and plenty of supplies to craft the motor. But what about the frame and the outer shell? I'm sure we don't have enough for all of that. We do, Askara grinned, and gestured to the waiting wagons. Oh, great, I nodded. But the last issue is, well, none of us have any experience mining. I'm a scientist and a doctor, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you're a jack-of-all-trades.
I'm sure we could figure it out, my lord, the soldier pondered.
Wait, I stated, and raised my right hand into the air. Actually, one of us does have experience with tunneling and excavating.
Who?
Askara asked with a single raised eyebrow. Ryan. She's an imp, and she lived underground for most of her life before I found her.
Well, 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 Askara tittered. And we'll have to consult her in the construction.
Yes, I smiled. But I already have most of it drawn up, along with a good picture of it in my head. We will need her input, though, to help make it better, but I'm sure with my blueprints we could get this done in a matter of days.
When do you want to get started, my lord?
Askara asked. As soon as possible, I explained. I think as soon as we arrive in Tulna. I want to get the scope of the area, the fortifications, and how tall it really is. Then we'll begin to build. I'll need the help of all my men, and that's another reason I want to wait.
Do you think this will be enough iron and steel?
Askara probed, and leaned his head back to take in all of the wagons filled with the metal. I believe so, I sighed, then rubbed the back of my neck. The only things I can see issues with are the electrical parts, but I could easily build them during the journey and test them out. I'm going to work on those first, and then once we arrive in Tulna, we can build around them. We won't have time to test it out, so if it fails, we have a few other options, especially if it malfunctions while already under the surface.
What you mean, my lord? The soldier chuckled.
We have plenty of strong women, Askara, I said. You saw the damage Daisy did in Burskan and Granum. I'm sure as long as we get underneath the walls, we won't have any other issues.
Very good.
The older man nodded, then offered me his calloused hand for the second time.
Shall we get ready to pack up and leave?
Yes, my women should be up by now, and I'll put Edeni and Cecilia in charge of driving the caravan. We'll do it exactly as we did before with the desperados at the front. They will guide us across the desert.
All right, Askara barked and snapped to attention. The rest of the soldiers are almost finished packing up the tents and supplies. We'll leave whenever you and your women are ready, my lord.
Well, I laughed, as a loud, familiar voice broke our attention away from the conversation. I'm pretty sure they're already awake, so get everyone loaded up, and we'll leave within the hour. I broke away from my trusted guard and came around the side of the caravan right as Valerie rolled out of the caravan's door with a steaming bun hanging from her grinning lips.
Don't you dare come back in here!
Daisy's voice roared from inside the cabin.
I swear to science, we better have some rolls left over for breakfast, Valerie Ann, or I will spank you with this damn spatula. I only ate three.
The cat girl laughed, rolled through the sand, and then jumped to her feet as she took another bite of the roll in her hands.
There's still plenty left over. Also, my middle name isn't Ann. I don't even have a middle name. You know that. I'm pretty sure none of us even have last names, so don't go making one up for me. Charles.
The bear girl sighed out of relief and slumped against the caravan's doorframe.
Please do something about this ruffian. She's stealing all the rolls I was baking for breakfast. They were too good to resist, Daisy,
the ash blonde sang.
I couldn't just let them sit there on the table and get cold. Plus, I'm pregnant. I'm eating for two. I need all of the extra calories to make sure my baby grows big and strong.
You're not the only one who's pregnant.
Daisy laughed and rested her hand against her tiny bump.
There's three of us now, and we need to make sure there's enough for all of us to go around.
What are we talking about?
Ryan asked, sidled up behind the brunette, and took a bite out of the three steaming rolls she held in a single clawed hand.
Oh, my science!
Daisy rolled her eyes and gasped.
Well, my love, I laughed lightly. You did say you wanted to make sure there was enough to go around for everyone. I'm sure Ryan and the baby are happy with their rolls.
We are.
The imp woman smiled and patted her rotund stomach.
I've already had two, and these other three are really hitting the spot.
You've eaten five rolls?
The bear girl shouted as she clutched at her heart.
I swear to the heavens above, Charles, you better hold me back because I'm about to go crazy on my sisters.
Now, I soothed, shook my head, and climbed up behind her to rub the brunette's shoulders. I'm sure we'll be fine if we're missing a few rolls. We're leaving soon, and whoever wants one can have some. But yeah, Ryan and Valerie, you've had enough, no more.
What?
Valerie cried, and crumbles of fresh breakfast flew from her mouth.
I only ate three. Ryan ate five.
It doesn't matter, I tittered. You've had more than the rest of us combined. You need to think about your sisters, too. They're probably just as hungry as you are.
But we're pregnant,
Ryan shrugged.
I thought we were allowed to eat whatever we wanted.
Yes, but within reason, I nodded. Not only that, but some of your other sisters may be pregnant right now and we just don't know it yet.
I guess you're right.
Valerie smiled and then offered Daisy her half-eaten roll.
Do you really think I want that back?
The bear girl laughed, shook her head, and then disappeared off inside the cabin.
Well, fine,
Valerie giggled.
I'll finish it myself then.
Val, I muttered, and immediately the ash blonde lifted her head. You may want to head inside. We're getting ready to leave for Tulna.
Oh, goody, goody! Oh, this is so exciting! I can't wait to wipe the floor with them!
Ryan, Valerie, and I entered the caravan together, and immediately my eyes went to Edeny and Cecilia. The two women stood at the window and stared out over the endless expanse of sand for a long moment. But as soon as I stepped up behind them, they turned. Their faces were serene and smooth, and I could tell they were more than ready to head out on the road. I want the two of you to drive the caravan, I explained. We'll do it exactly as we did before. Matilda and her women will guide us to Tulna, but we're driving straight through. No more stops, do you understand? If you get too tired, you can switch out with one of your sisters, but we're going down this road until we reach our destination.
You got it,
the red-headed Drake woman nodded.
I'll drive first if Edeny wants to relax in here. I don't mind.
It's entirely up to the two of you, I assured with a wide smile.
What will you be doing, Charles?
The she-wolf asked with a tilt of her head.
Usually you sit up front with us.
I'm going to my laboratory. Ryan, I'm going to need your insight on something after you've finished your meal.
Okay.
The red-skinned woman grinned, flopped down on a couch with a groan, and then nestled her hands over her rotund belly. I nodded, then I waved to all of them before I turned and headed off toward the last cabin of the caravan. The door was tightly closed, and when I opened it, the door creaked pleasantly like the soft voice of an old friend calling out to me. My eyes settled on A.B. in his jar of crystal-clear liquid, and my thoughts went back to the scientist. Hopefully we'd find her in Tulna, and then I could learn how to make my loyal companion a body. I wasn't sure how we would do it, but I wanted to make him a physical body out of flesh, bones, and blood. Irene had said the scientist's assistant was a robot with a reanimated brain, but that wasn't what I wanted for A.B.
Welcome back, Charles,
the brain uttered in a soft voice, and instantly my eyebrows raised. What's the matter? I asked. You're not going to chastise me for not coming to visit you like you usually do.
No, A.B. answered easily. Maybe when we live back at the manor, but not now. I know you're busy, so I won't complain.
I liked it when you complained, I admitted. It motivated me to work harder.
Yeah, then make me a goddamn body!
The brain shrieked, and immediately I threw back my head with a cackle of loud laughter.
I'm working on it, buddy,
I grinned, settled myself down at the desk, and picked up the rough blueprint I'd already drawn up for the digger.
You have to be patient. When we get to Tulna, we'll have more answers. You'll be free very soon, my friend. What do you mean by that?
the brain asked in a suspicious tone.
I'll be free? Are you going to drop kick me into the canal? Then you won't have to worry about me anymore. I'll be a free brain, a weird, undiscovered type of fish.
I wouldn't do that, I chuckled under my breath. Not only that, but I'm sure there are plenty of big fish inside the canal, and you'd be a tasty little treat for them.
Okay, well, never mind that then, A.B. laughed. I won't be a new species of highly intelligent fish. So what do you mean I'll be free?
You've heard about the scientist, right? I asked, and when I glanced over at him, he bobbed excitedly in the liquid as if he were nodding. Irene, the shyest desperado, told us she has an assistant, too.
Ooh, is it a girl assistant?
The brain cackled. I think so, I nodded, and picked up the charcoal pencil. But that's not the interesting part, A.B. Her assistant is a robot, but inside of the robot is a reanimated brain.
A what?
My assistant nearly shouted into the confines of my brain. You heard me right, I went on. I think if we find this scientist and see her assistant, we can maybe figure out a way to get you a body. But I will say this. I don't want you to just be a robot. I don't want to build you a body I could have created months ago. I want you to be a man in a real body, just like I promised you.
Even if I have to be a robot?
The brain started, and then paused for a few seconds.
It's still better than being in this jar all the time. At least if you create me a mechanical body, I can move around and do as I please.
Yes, but before we do all of that, we need to figure out a way to get inside of Tolna, take it over, and track down the scientist.
Seems like a lot of work, A.B. complained.
Yes, I breathed, stood from the chair, and then over to the shelves that held all of my electrical components. But think of it like this. The capital wasn't built in a day, was it? It's going to take time and effort. We have 3 more cities standing in our way before we reach the capital, and I have to have them under my control before we can move on to the capital. We need the supplies, the women, and the men. I have to strengthen my army, and not only that, but I myself need to learn more. I'm new at this, and if we were to head straight to the Queen right now, we'd surely lose. I'm brave enough to admit that. Our army may be strong, but in comparison to the soldiers in the capital, we're tiny ants compared to an enormous anteater.
Damn, the brain barked. I would have said we're like house cats compared to a mountain lion or something else. Charles, we're not as weak as you think we are.
Well, maybe not, I shrugged. Grabbed the first pieces I needed, and then set them down in the middle of the floor before going back to grab a few more. But we are not at the point we need to be. Yes, the initial reason we wanted to attack these cities was to take down each Martianess within them, but now we've done it a few times, I believe our mission has changed. This is only practice, A.B. Attacking these cities is honing our skills, and that's what we need right now. We may be strong, but we need to be stronger.
I'll get it, A.B. laughed lightheartedly. But imagine if you had a half-human, half-robot reanimated brain on your side. I think that might give you the extra boost to defeat the Queen.
I'm sure it would, I tittered. Aren't you glad I never built you those tubes throughout the manor or the goddamn hamster ball you wanted? Then you'd be stuck in this form the rest of your life, content to roll around on the floor or float around to different rooms.
Hey, I wouldn't be complacent with any of those things, the brain protested. Are you trying to say if I had asked for those things, and you built them, you wouldn't have promised to build me a body?
Maybe, I shrugged, and placed the other electrical parts on the ground. Then I grabbed a small wooden box of screws. I mean, I said I missed your complaining, but not all of the time. The brain gasped and then made an annoyed guttural noise. I wasn't sure how he managed to do it since he didn't have a pair of functioning lips, throat, or voice box, but the sound immediately made me chuckle. A.B. fell silent as I started to work on the inner parts that would make up our brand new digger, but after a few minutes, he spoke up again.
Do you really think you and your army are weak? He asked.
I don't think I am weak or that my army is either, I explained, threw back my head, and ran a hand through my thick, messy hair. But Tolna will give me what I need for the next step of our journey. With every city, I learn something new. Sometimes it's about being a leader or the strength of my women or soldiers, and sometimes the cities teach me more about myself than regular life ever would. A.B., if we had the ability to go back in time, and I switched places with my old self, do you think he could do what we're doing? No, he'd probably cower in fear, turn tail and run in the opposite direction.
I'm glad I've learned the lessons I have, and I will work harder to become a better man than I am now. I'm stronger than I was then, and within the next few months, hell, maybe even the next few weeks, I'll be stronger than I am now. Tolna will give me strength, and it will teach me something I've yet to learn. Let's search for the horizon, A.B. Tolna is waiting for us.